Hey everyone, this is Grace.
And this is Justin.
You're listening to the Perspective of a Hairdresser's podcast,
where we discuss the experiences between seasoned and unseasoned hairdressers alike. Welcome to our show. There's this topic that I'd seen on TikTok and I sent to you, but it was talking about how this lady was like, if you are interviewing at a commission-based salon and what questions to ask them, what does a two-year stylist working at your salon make, and what does a 5 or 10 year stylist make at your salon? And I feel like that's a really two very good questions to ask. A lot of times you can be pigeonholed into making a certain level of commission for years, and a lot of times it's like, well, I'm bending over backwards, but what am I, if I'm not getting anything in return, as far as like how much work I'm producing in a day versus how much I'm getting?
Yeah.
That's the major cause of the burnout.
Yeah.
Really.
Like, your commission should be somewhat like what your work is worth based off of, and like how much time you've put in, not just like, oh, you bump up this however many after this year. It's like, if you're a high level producer, you should have a bigger percentage of what you're doing.
She also said in that TikTok that, would you rather make 10% of $1 million, or would you rather make 50% of 1,000? So in the long run of things, yeah, I want to make, 10% of $1 million.
Yeah.
And a lot of times.
No, I think this is a great topic, especially for like baby stylists and also people who just aren't good with that, like numbers and math stuff, all that kind of stuff you have to deal with being a stylist. You really get thrown a curveball when people are like, oh, you're going to make this much out of commission for this amount of years and blah, 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 blah. And it sounds all good for a while, but then you realize that like that's not a good payout for you if you really write it down and like crunch the numbers, because at the end of the day, a lot of people aren't going to do that. Like, they're just going to take the job because it looks good on paper. Like, they didn't do their research on what actually they're buying in for. And starting out at a commission salon is hard regardless, because your profit is based on what you do that day. And if you're in a new area, or if you're starting out and you don't have anybody coming to you consistently already, it's like you can't really guarantee yourself a paycheck. So just being on commission that first year, you can't expect to make any money. Like, you have survival money and that's it. Like, you need a budget.
I guess that is the beauty thing. The beautiful thing about working in a commission salon is that majority of the time they pay you an hourly rate up until you can start making more money than what you're getting paid hourly is. And that's beautiful, because then you know that it may not be much in the beginning, but you know that you're working towards that goal of like making more than what your hourly rate is.
Yeah, for sure. There's always like there's a step up on the ladder for you.
But then also on the flip side, I've been doing this however long and you still only get, like when I first moved to New York and I was working at the other place, they would like pigeonhole you into, you have to make this certain amount and then you also have to sell this amount of product. And I'm like, number one, I'm not a salesman.
Yeah.
I will recommend products till I'm blue in the face, but having to do it to quote unquote make more money,
just the word, like, you have to sell these products, you have to make this quota for this month or whatever, like, that's so much pressure. And also, that's not guaranteed. Like, hair is still a luxury service, so they're already spending an arm and a leg to get their hair done. Like, you can't expect them to just pile on top of the bill. Like, people aren't made of money. Like, yes, you want people to take good care of their hair and you're recommending these products because you think this would benefit them. But at the end of the day, that's an added expense to something that's already an added expense. It's unrealistic to set a quota for each month and be like, you need to sell this, because at the end of the day, then people are going to be less trustworthy to you because they feel like you're just trying to sell them stuff.
Also, as a hairstylist, you have to be smart with your money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get, you know, keep your paper in check.
Yeah.
I can see, because we have technology now, and our technology allows us to be able to see what our total services that we bring in to the salon every month, every year, every week. So, best believe, I'm looking at that every year. And that year, that last year that I was there, I was working to the bone. I had at least 10 to 13 clients that I would see in a day.
Wow.
And literally made them six figures.
That's insane.
That last year that I was there. And you know how much I made? That year? 50, like maybe a little more than 50,000.
That's crazy.
That is like living almost on minimum wage.
Yeah, it's like 20,000 under minimum wage. Yeah, it's like where, like at the end of the day, like you're the producer, you're the one providing the service, you're building the relationships, like you're the one put like the backbone of what you're doing is you, and they just like provide you a space and product to do it.
Well, and I do understand like they have to
pay everybody
and pay for product and pay for the space. And
but you should have seen at least like a little bit under half of that. Like that's not even half.
No, I can literally like,
you know what we should do is we should do a how to crunch the numbers for stylists.
I would be totally down for that.
Yeah, because I feel like that's really important, especially in the economic state that we're in right now, like with everything that's going crazy and all
the recession,
yeah,
and all of that, the like, inflation.
Yeah, I feel like supporting stylists, like knowing how to fend for your money is such an important topic to be spread around.
I have my numbers app and I will go on my booking, you know, the app that we use for booking at the salon.
Mm-hmm.
I will go on my booking app and I will. Each day, I have my total numbers that I made for each day, plug that in, and I have like week one and week two. Week one is all the totals that I made for each day for that week. And
including
then,
tip or no?
Not including. Well, yes, actually, because you can see the total for that for the day. So like I have two columns, one for my total services that I brought in for the day. And then one for my total tips that I brought in for the day.
Mm.
And then total that up and whatever New York State taxes are.
Yeah.
As a percentage, I plug that into like what the taxes would be. So that way, when I plug everything in, it's a little less than what I would actually make on a paycheck. So I know that like if I'm making just that, that's fine.
Yeah, like
if it's a little bit more, I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah.
And this is a great template for actually anybody who's have week one services, week one tips, week two services, week two tips.
Mm-hmm.
And then paycheck summary, you can see
mm-hmm.
those are my total services that I brought in. That's my commission.
Wow.
That's my tips. And then the tax deducted. And so that's around what I would make on a paycheck.
That's insane. Like what you actually bring in versus what you get on your paycheck. Like
yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like you have to be very smart about what you do. It's a good reference for you to have as a younger stylist coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you know what the money that you're bringing in and what you're bringing to the table
for
the entirety of like your services and you being working on the team but also for your own self. I've like that place that I worked at before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were messing me up on like commission.
That's crazy. Oh, that's such a scary feeling. Like,
and they will get away with it
because
they know that hairstylists do not check their numbers. And I'm like, no, you're not going to play around with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very upfront and forward. Like, you don't play with my money.
No, like, no. Yeah. So do you think that since you're at a commission, well, we're at a commission-based salon, do you think that your numbers would reflect differently if you were doing like an independent booth rental or if you were like in a suite?
Honestly, I have literally kind of totaled it up in my head as far as like having to pay for a space, having to pay for my own color, having to pay for all the little things that we do. So like towels and capes and foils and cotton and
all the disposable color removal, stuff,
all like gloves, all, trash bags, laundry to drop my stuff off. When I equal all of that out, I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I literally, it all equals out either way you want to do it. Also, I don't want to have to like do my taxes.
Yeah.
Like I'm terrified to have like a 1099 and then have to do all of those extra things.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to have to do that. So let me just come in, do my thing, give me a proper commission rate.
Yeah.
And I'm set. I'm good to go.
Do you feel like, what is the amount of years that your commission goes up? Like, do you think that your, I know like for price wise of services, like services go up every year, a certain dollar amount. Like, does that reflect on what you make as well? So like, say a service goes up every year, does your commission go up every year? Or when does your commission go up?
Your commission should go up, I would say at least, if not half, per year, at least one percentage more every 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I feel like if your services are getting, why can't I think of the word? If your services are getting higher in cost,
yes.
Like, I think you deserve a bigger percentage of what you're getting of that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's also, you got to factor in, like, how much time you're spending doing each service and how quick you are doing each thing and
satisfaction rate of everybody.
Yeah. Very that, that, and also like experience and how much effort you take into like going to classes and doing all these other things for yourself, you know, not for anybody else.
But the question is like, when do you like max out of commission? Like, when are you can't make any more money? Like, you're at a plateau. Like, what do you do after you plateau, but you're still like in like the industry, you know, you still want to be in the industry.
Literally at that point, you have to figure out whether you want to go do something for yourself or you want to maybe have a partnership in a business.
Yeah.
Where at some point, you know, once you max out on like commission, because maxing out on commission is basically like 50 or 52 or 53%.
Yeah. Like you're never going to make your full service total if you're working for somebody.
Like when I worked back home in Alabama, now granted, it was the services were priced a little bit less, but also the cost of living and everything down there is so much less as well.
Yeah.
But I made 52% commission. And
that's like that. You think that's like the highest you can make as a commission?
I don't think that that's the highest you can make. But for what I was doing down there, and I had already been there for 8 years. So like, you know, that was sort of my capping out moment.
Yeah.
And my personal brand had evolved. So I knew that I wanted to do like Fashion Week in New York and all of that. So then I came up here to do Fashion Week. I was like, you know what? This is where I need to be.
Yeah.
And then you have to start all over again, which sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. That's what was your like feeling when you knew, obviously, like you said, cost of living is so different there. What was it like for you when you came here and the difference in like paycheck that you would get? Like, do you think that was fair for you to start at the bottom again? Or were you like able to like build up pretty quickly? Like it was a short period of time.
Well, so having the experience behind me definitely helped.
Mm-hmm.
Also having knowledge of working in a salon for that many years helped.
I feel like even for like me, since I haven't even been like put on commission yet, I'm still on hourly because I'm just an assistant. And I'm like working my way up to being a stylist, I thought about getting another job because hourly is so like slim of what you can do with your money. Like you have to pay for food, like you have to pay for transportation. Like I live far from the salon. So like if I'm at the salon at a late time, if I'm at like 10 or 9, like I don't feel comfortable taking the subway all the time. And also if I take the subway after like 9:30 or 10, that time it would take me to get home would be almost like 2 hours, and it's not even worth it by then. I'm like, I would rather pay the 20, 30, 40 bucks to take a cab home and be home in like 25 minutes. Like it's insane. But like that adds up for me. Like I live with my partner, so we get to split rent, which like I would never be able to live here and work with what I'm being paid and like be able to pay for everything I would need to pay for. Like not only do we have to pay for rent, food, like being a hairstylist, you have to pay for all your tools, which are expensive as hell. Like you have to go to classes, you have to like experiment, like you do your friend's hair, like you buy their color, like you do all this extra stuff, and it's like, oh, I have like $50 left in my bank account and it's only been like 3 days, you know, like that stuff adds up. So it's really intense, and I feel like that's what cracks a lot of people for the first year is if you don't have, like, I'm very lucky to have a support system with me to be able to, like, we can kind of trade off on who's paying more or who's paying less because we know it'll, like, equal out in the end and we don't care about money like that type of way. But not everyone can do that. Like, and honestly, living off of an assistant pay is not fun. It is not fun. So I'm excited to like get into my commission, but I'm also excited to like learn from you like all the ways that I like should go about it and what I should know and what is gonna fuck me up in the future, because it's like I want to know what to do with my money. And like not being in a salon before, you have no idea like what other, I guess I have no idea, but I don't know what other industry does commission work.
I really do feel like that as well should be one of the topics that you talk about in beauty school.
Yeah.
They don't talk about any of that.
Yeah.
They don't talk about like the difference between commission and barber or commission and booth rent and all of that. And the difference in like your taxes and the commission scales and all the things. So
yeah, I feel like the main thing they throw at you is, like, you're going to make so much money if you come to my salon, but in how many years?
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to make in the first 3 to 5 years? Yeah. Like, I need to know if I will be able to live a sustainable life.
Right.
Like, no, thank you. If I sell my soul to you for 10 years, I'll be making good money by then. Like, no.
Well, also, what comes with that is, like we were talking about in one of the earlier episodes, you know, you sell your soul to go work at this premier, grandioso, fabulous salon in the city somewhere or wherever you live. And they're telling you, you have to dress this way. You have to wear all black. You have to wear dress shoes. You have to wear
high heels.
You have to wear high heels. You have to put on your makeup every day. You have to have your hair a certain way. Like
talk a certain way. Like
yeah,
you said.
Yeah.
That one person at your salon told you to change your accent.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
She's like, oh, honey, if you live in New York, you're going to have to change your accent real fast. And I was like, I am very humble, and I know where I come from, and I'm very proud of that. So I'm not ever changing.
Yeah.
I ain't changing for anybody.
No. And also, there's a million different accents just in New York City. Why would you have to just change yours?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That makes no sense. Yeah, no, I think money is a really important topic because a lot of people go into this industry thinking that they're going to make a lot of money. They're going to have flexible hours. The work's going to be easy. And they'll only have to do this for like a side gig. But in reality, it's not like that. Like, it is hustle culture to the max. Like, if you aren't hustling, you aren't making that extra dollar. You aren't getting that share as fast as you can. Like, your commission isn't getting raised, like you're not getting that extra client on that book that has a $600 ticket, you know.
Yeah.
Like it is a lot of hard work, and so you feel entitled to earning that money because it is backbreaking work. Like you are on your feet for 8 to 10 hours a day, like in the summer, some salons don't have AC and it's like a million degrees and so hot and you have a blow dryer blowing in your face and it feels like 100 degrees. Yeah. Or a lot of people think this industry is just like, oh, like I'm going to do hair. Like it's so cute and fun and easy. Like it's not. Like it really isn't. And I feel like that, especially in New York City, it is such a competitive, like toxic environment that can like break you. And if you don't want to break you, you can be so amazing and so good and like find your community. And it's not always like that, but a lot of people are like that, like those prim and proper salons that have been here for decades, who put the name of a famous salon on their back and they think they're the shit and they can talk to you any type of way. Like, no. But money is very important, and I feel like you should know what you're entitled to.
Yes,
at the end of the day, yes, everybody gets a percentage taken out of their paycheck from, like, no matter what industry, they get money taken out. Either it's taxes or whatever, or, like, the fees you pay or whatnot. What do you think would be, like, a good alternative, or what would you want for, like, hairstylists in the future instead of, like, a commission-based pay or, like, all those types of things? Like, what do you think would be worth what you put on the table, what is worth for you? And what is worth for the company? Do you think there's like another way to do it? Or do you think that like commission's like the only way we can go?
You know, they teach you in cosmetology school when they're trying to fluff you up to mm-hmm. get you to come to cosmetology school. You can make the hours you want. You can make as much money as you want. You can have the schedule that you want. You can wear whatever you want. You can do this or do that. And then once you get into the industry and you work for these big corporate companies, they tell you you can't do this. They tell you you have to have this scheduled. They tell you that yeah. you can't wear this and you have to look like this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what, where?
What salon are you talking about when in you what, tell me that? Yeah.
In what world did we get into this industry knowing that we could have those things and then coming out and go into one of these like big luxury salons and whatever, and then them telling us, no, we can't do this. No, we can't do that. Yeah. You know, like knowing what you're worth and your commission and all of that. I feel like starting out, obviously, you're not going to make the money.
Yeah.
You have to put your time in and work in and keep your head down and keep it pushing. And then I would say at least, typically, what the statistic is to grow your book and to be on the floor by yourself for you to be successful, it takes about 3 years.
Well,
as a newer hairstylist coming into to the industry, it takes 3 good years. Once you're on the floor, it takes 3 good years. I feel that in those first 3 years, maybe you should have an assessment on a little bit of a commission raise at that point and be like, well, I'm moving up to the next level. So now I get a higher commission rate, mm-hmm. you know, it's not that much higher, but it's something, it's working towards something. But then once you at the tail end of it, I mean, I don't want to open my own place.
Yeah.
Just because of like, I like working with people. I like working with other hairstylists. I don't want to be by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't want to have to manage my own little space.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would keep it clean and all the things, but I don't want to have to take inventory and all of that. Like
pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah. So, in doing that, maybe at some point it would be like, oh, you know, I'm either transitioning out of doing hair altogether and doing something else completely, or if I'm transitioning into only teaching and doing hair once or twice a week,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or then you transition into like maybe a partnership with an owner or something where maybe they like open another location or whatever, and you're managing that one. So then it becomes like, yeah, you're still doing hair, maybe not that much, but you're still doing hair, and you just make a little bit of the profit of what the entire salon breaks in at that point versus like your own personal commission.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like it could change. And everybody could have a part in that, you know? If it goes in a certain way, and if you're there for long enough.
So here's my question for you. Do you think that just doing hair is a sustainable income enough to like live the rest of your life? Like I started doing hair at 19. Do you think I could do hair until the age of retirement and have a sustainable income until I don't want to do hair anymore?
There's three major factors that come into play with that.
Mm-hmm.
The techniques you're using to save your body.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The productivity that you have to like get up and go and do the things and be quick-witted in how your money is.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're bringing in and all of those things. Yes. And always saying yes, but knowing when to not say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
If it benefits you, yes. But if it doesn't benefit you and you're just doing it just for somebody else, absolutely not. But you can always have, yeah, you could always do it. You could always be a hairstylist. I know people who are still hairstylists and they're like 70 or 80 years old. And they've been doing their entire life. And they love it. They yeah. still love it. They still get up and go and do all the things. And they're so young and lively because they have been doing it for that long. And they're just kind of like doing it for fun now. I mean, obviously still making money.
Yeah.
But, you know, because we don't get to retire.
No.
At all.
Uh-uh.
We don't have a 401k.
There's no pension at the end
There's
of this.
No pension. There's nothing.
Thanks for listening to our show. If you liked what we talked about, subscribe, maybe like, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.